This is a serious topic. Not much laughter in this one, folks. The Baha'is and the Nazis. I was given a talk on the Baha'i faith a few years ago, and a guy asked me, he said, I like to understand things in sort of a dyad, a diametrically opposed kind of a way. So what's the opposite of the Baha'i faith? I said, wow, that's an interesting question. I've never heard that one before. And I had to think about it, and I thought, the Nazis. That's the exact opposite of the Baha'i faith. So I'm going to try and explain that to you today and help you understand the perspective of the Baha'is and the Nazis and why they're so diametrically opposed. And I hope that by the end of this talk, you'll see that the resurgence of the Nazis, the neo-Nazis, the white nationalists, the alt-right, whatever you want to call it, you'll see that that resurgence is something that those of us who are Baha'is and those of us who have Baha'i ideals of the oneness of humanity need to resist as much as we possibly can. Right? So you know the origin of the term Nazi? It comes from the German pronunciation of the word national, national. And it came originally from a German movement in the early 20th century called the Völkisch. And Völkisch doesn't really translate into English. I guess the best that you could do is to call it racial nationalistic. That's what it really means. And so the Nazi Party was founded on those ideals, the ideals of racism and nationalism together. So the word doesn't just describe someone who believes in racial superiority. It also means a militant nationalist, somebody who elevates the nation above everything else, above humanity, somebody who even deifies the nation. That militant nationalist philosophy in Nazi Germany first began, you've probably seen video of this, it first began with mass rallies, these huge rallies, right? Then it kept going by passing genocidal laws, laws that allowed the Nazis to exterminate people. And then, of course, it developed into a world war, the worst in human history, 50 million dead. That world war, luckily, just luckily, was won by the forces that opposed Nazism. It could have gone the other way. So, what does that mean for today? It means most of us, most civilized, intelligent people, oppose Nazism. And in fact, oppose it pretty strongly, I think I can safely say. The definition in the dictionary of a Nazi, there it is, an evil person who wants to use power to control and harm others. If you call somebody a Nazi, that's a pretty bad insult, right? I hope you don't have any friends like that. So let's do the quiz. What's the world's favorite term for a repressive government or police force? Let's see here. The Gestapo, of course. That's Heinrich Himmler. I'll tell you more about him in a minute, standing there next to Hitler. What negative word, Nazi word, do we apply to every ad campaign, lie, political ad, etc.? Yeah, propaganda. There you go. There's a nice piece of propaganda there. A nice blonde girl collecting for the Nazis. And what is the world's least popular baby name? Absolutely correct. Thank you. That's the funny portion of the program. The rest ain't funny. So, what do Nazis stand for? Racial superiority, right? The superiority of white people, Aryans, Northern Europeans like me, over everyone else, correct? And for a militant national supremacy policy. All right? Got that? Baha'is believe that the Baha'i faith brought by Baha'u'llah impelled the worldwide effort against this movement. And I'll show you why. Because Baha'u'llah said, it is not for him to pride himself who loveth his own country, but rather for him who loveth the whole world. The earth is but one country, and mankind its citizens. So with that in mind, let's look at a few of the vast differences between the Nazis and the Baha'is. You ready? Nazis believe in a master race, in the eugenic superiority of white people over every other human being. Baha'is believe in the oneness of the human race, the elimination of all prejudice, and the unity of humanity, all humanity. Nazis believe in the military domination of all nations by a single country. Baha'is believe the earth is one country. Nazis believe in violence and constant warfare. Hitler said that the greatest state of civilization was a state of constant warfare. Baha'is believe in world peace and the elimination of warfare forever. Nazis believe in exterminating their enemies. Baha'is believe we should embrace our enemies. Nazis believe in hatred. Baha'is believe in love. See the difference? It's enormous. Adolf Hitler has become the prototypical symbol of everything evil, right? You look at a picture of Mr. Hitler and you see, oh, what an evil human being. But I'd nominate this guy, Heinrich Himmler, who was Hitler's second in command, and some would say really the man who ran Nazi Germany while Hitler was taking methamphetamine and hiding in his bunker, which he literally was. This guy, Heinrich Himmler, was the Reichsfuhrer of the SS, and he was the mind behind Germany's death camps, the concentration camps. He was the one who set them up and whose work resulted in the mass killing of 6 million Jews, about 5 million Poles and Hungarians, an uncounted number of gay people, about 500,000 Romani or Gypsy people, and who knows how many Baha'is. Why? Because Heinrich Himmler outlawed the Baha'i faith in 1937. Did you know this? He made a big speech. He said, the Baha'is stand for internationalist and pacifist tendencies. That's a direct quote. And he outlawed the Baha'i faith in all the German territories. The European Baha'i community was fairly small in the 1930s, hadn't yet grown to the size it is today. But it was fascinating how it developed. It began in Germany in about 1905 with this woman named Alma Knobloch. And Alma was a wonderful, sweet person. She had immigrated to New York with another German Baha'i, a dentist named Dr. Edwin Fischer. And they became the first German Baha'is in New York. Then they moved back to Germany, to Stuttgart, and started the German Baha'i community in 1905. By 1913, the German Baha'i community was big enough that Abdu'l-Bahá visited. 8 years, think about that. Abdu'l-Bahá came for a visit. He spoke in front of very large and enthusiastic crowds, so enthusiastic that the Germans erected a memorial to Abdu'l-Bahá. You see it there? Well, that memorial soon came down. I'll tell you the story. The Baha'i community really flourished in Germany in the 20s. And as a result, in 1923, they elected their first national spiritual assembly, which for Baha'is is the democratically elected leadership body of a nation. One of the very first ones ever elected was in Germany in 1923. But 10 years later, Hitler was elected. The German people elected him. There wasn't a coup. You know, he didn't take military power. He was elected. And as a result, in 1 year, the guardian of the Baha'i faith, Shoghi Effendi, said this about the Baha'is and the Nazis. He said, "The wave of nationalism, so aggressive and so contagious in its effects, which has swept not only over Europe, but over a large part of mankind, is indeed the very negation of the gospel of peace and of brotherhood proclaimed by Baha'u'llah." See what I mean? The very negation, the exact opposite. That's what the Guardian said. 3 years later, the Nazis cracked down on the Baha'is. Himmler made his famous 1937 speech, and he did so with great prejudice against the Baha'i community. They tore down that monument. That was the first official act the Nazis took after Himmler's speech in 37. And then in 1939, they arrested all the leaders of the Baha'i community. Everybody who had served on the National Spiritual Assembly went to jail in Germany. In 1942, there was another round of mass arrests. And many of those people wound up in the concentration camps. We don't know how many. Of course, most of them had Jewish backgrounds. That's who had become Baha'is. The intellectuals, the writers, the journalists. The Baha'is then were put on trial in Nazi Germany in 1944. It was kind of a show trial, really. Everybody knew what the outcome was going to be. But this man, Dr. Hermann Grossman, doesn't he have a sweet face? He was the one who stood up and defended the Baha'is. Luckily, he kept most of them from being executed on the spot. It was a good defense. He managed to just get the Baha'is fined heavily and completely disbanded all Baha'i institutions, local spiritual assemblies as well, at that point. Baha'is went to jail for very long periods. There were more mass arrests, and more of the German, Hungarian, Polish Baha'is went into the camps. This woman, Renee Santo Felberman, was the first Hungarian Baha'i. And she came from a Jewish background. She was a journalist, and a very intrepid and wonderful journalist. She wrote a book called Rebirth. If you can get a copy of it, I highly recommend it. It's hard to find. It's out of print, printed by the British Baha'i Publishing Trust in 1980, no longer in print, and copies online, a couple hundred bucks, usually, for paperback. But it's a wonderful book to read, and it's one of the most powerful memoirs of the period when the Nazis existed and how they treated the Baha'is. In fact, her husband as well worked in the underground helping people escape, Baha'is, Jews, etc. Let me read you one of the stories she tells from her remarkable book, Rebirth. "Two German SS officers faced me, their revolvers aimed at my head. 'What is in this box?' the officers shouted. 'Open it.' 'These are books and manuscripts about my religion, the Baha'i faith,' said Renee." Ask yourself, would you have the courage to say that? "The officer who knelt before the box snatched one page and began to read. His eyes caught the following passage from Baha'u'llah, translated into German." Here's the passage. "'They that are intoxicated by self-conceit have interposed themselves between it and the divine and infallible physician. Witness how they have entangled all men, themselves included, in the mesh of their devices.' 'This sounds very suspicious,' the German officer said. 'In the morning, you will be shot and thrown into the Danube.' But first, the Gestapo will come and investigate. Pointing at my mother, he shouted, "She will also be shot and thrown into the Danube, and the child too." Luckily, Renee escaped death, as did her mother and child. Luckily, she had very near misses three times. In fact, once she was force marched to a concentration camp and she managed to escape the march at the last minute before all the people who were going to the concentration camp actually had to enter the gate, you know, the point of no return. So if you read her book, you'll see how her gentleness and grace and her deep belief in the oneness of humanity redeemed her in the face of this great evil, and how it gave her strength in the face of that evil. Here's one more story. The first new Baha'i who found his way to us, this is the German Baha'i community, after the end of the war was a young medical student. During the war, as a boy of 18, he had to work in a forced labor battalion because of his Jewish origin, and he'd been sent to a concentration camp as a result. There, he met a Baha'i from Poland, a highly cultured man who told him of Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i faith and gave him the moral strength to endure the terrible hardships to which they were all subjected. Finally, they did not get anything to eat. They were just left to starve, having been selected to be taken to the gas chambers at Auschwitz. The boy was so weak that he thought he would die. The Baha'i from Poland still possessed one carrot he had uprooted from a field and kept as a last reserve. This carrot he handed to his young friend, saying, "I am much older than you and have lived my life. Yours is still before you. Take this carrot. Perhaps it will save your life. And remember Baha'u'llah." The carrot gave the boy enough strength to go out and search for water when he suddenly found himself face to face with a German soldier. The soldier turned out to be an acquaintance from Hungary, someone the boy knew, someone who was of German descent. And he said, "What are you doing here?" This is an amazing story. He said, "Come quickly, I can save you. I am here with a lorry," that means truck for Americans, "and am on the point of returning to Budapest. I shall hide you in the lorry and take you back." Thus he escaped. This is how this young medical student got away. The Polish Baha'i, together with the other members of the forced labor battalion, was taken to Auschwitz, where they all perished. Yeah. So luckily, the Nazis were defeated by an enormous global effort. But, as I mentioned before, the racial supremacy and nationalism that their ideology represents is making a comeback. You know, there aren't a lot of people alive who were around for World War II, 70-some years ago. Now people are forgetting. It's up to us, the promoters of the oneness of humanity, to make sure that we don't forget. And to remember that all peoples constitute one mankind, are servants of one God, descended from the same ancestry. I'll finish by showing you the new monument that now exists in Germany about Abdu'l-Bahá, and wrap it up on a hopeful note here. When Heinrich Himmler outlawed the Baha'i faith in 1937 and the Nazis tore down that monument, the Baha'i community had it replaced. And not only the Baha'i community, but the municipal authorities in Germany wanted to replace it too. Here's the newspaper report from 2007 when it was rebuilt. A Baha'i memorial removed when the Nazis were in power has been restored by municipal authorities in this town in Germany. The stone commemorates the 1913 visit of Abdu'l-Bahá, the successor of Baha'u'lláh as head of the Baha'i faith. The original memorial was erected in 1916, but removed in 1937 at a time when the Baha'i faith was outlawed by the Nazis. So there you go. What does this prove? It really proves, to me anyway, and I think to many, many other people, that regimes can exterminate individuals, but they cannot exterminate love and hope. Thank you.